For our scripture this morning, we're reading from the words of our compassionate Heavenly Father from Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through 20, and the title of the message is Experiencing the Hope of Christ's Resurrection. Before we read the scripture, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this vision that the Apostle John had of your living, triumphant, resurrection, exalted life as the Son of God. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that the keys to every problem, every perplexity, every prison, that the keys of death are in your hands. You have triumph over sin, over death, over Satan, over hell. And may our hope today be lodged in you. Fill us afresh with hope in yourself, we pray, as we read the scripture and hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through 20. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice with a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna, to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. And on turning, I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe and with a golden sash around his chest. The hairs of his head were white like wool, like snow. His eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze refined in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. In his right hand he held seven stars. From his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in its full strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, fear not, for I am the first and the last and the living one. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades. Write therefore the things that you have seen, those that are and those that are to take place after this. As for the mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. As I deliver this message, there have been nearly 500,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19, and nobody can tell exactly and precisely how the disease will progress or when it will diminish. But here are some of the headlines from the major news medias. Global coronavirus cases top 1 million. U.S. jobless claims soar to 6.6 million last week. The U.S. has reached another grim and sad milestone. Over 12,000 deaths. Now there are over 14,000. 6 weeks ago, the global economy was bursting at the seams with prosperity. 6 weeks ago, the U.S. economy was bursting at the seams with prosperity. Stocks were soaring. We were making summer plans. And so many were thinking, death? The last enemy? Life is good on planet Earth. But despite our scientific, medical, and technological, as well as economic power, we have again discovered how fragile and vulnerable our life is in a fallen world. With humility, we're discovering that our economic and our supply networks have been stretched to the limits and are very fragile. Our relationships are fragile and vulnerable. Our bodies and our life are fragile and vulnerable in a fallen world. And that we all live in this life, a fallen world, with the fear of death that makes us fear to its slavery our whole life long. But there is nothing more strengthening. There is nothing more affirming. There is nothing more peace-filling today than to recognize that in our suffering, we suffer with the glorious, firm, certain hope that Jesus Christ is a living, ruling, reigning Savior today. The loss of hope is what makes suffering unbearable to people in this life. The stability of hope in Jesus Christ enables us to face the present and the future with strength, with a stable and unshakable hope and security. The Apostle John was banished to the island of Patmos because of his faithfulness in living for Jesus Christ and proclaiming the gospel. The evil ruler, Roman Emperor Domitian, banished John to an island, a crag, a wilderness that was not more than 24 miles in diameter. He is the only one surviving of all of the apostles. All have died a martyr's death, sadly. He is in solitude on this island. He's banished with criminals because it was an island only for criminals. He's under great pressure. Undoubtedly, he was lonely. And yet he is intact as a person because he's confident in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I want to take this passage of Scripture this morning under the power of the Holy Spirit and give you reasons why your hope is unshakable this morning because of the resurrection of Christ. Point number one, fix your trust on the all-sufficient person of Jesus Christ. So there's someone who kept the Apostle John intact as a person under great pressure. He is constricted in his condition. He's confined in his condition. He's on a barren island. He's an old man, perhaps as old as nearing his 90s. But he's courageous and he's confident. He's troubled. He's in trouble, but he's trusting in his resurrected Lord. He is lonely, and yet, brothers and sisters, he is filled with love. Love for Christ. Love for others. Something or someone is keeping John, the Apostle John, filled with peace, filled with hope, filled with security, filled with assurance, and intact under great pressure. Under great pressure, but in the presence of Jesus Christ. I pray you know that blessedness this morning. The resurrection of Christ is God's great amen to Christ's sacrificial death for your sins and my sins on the cross of Calvary. Oh, what hope flows from the cross of Christ because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The debt of your sin is paid for completely. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, the Apostle John describes Jesus Christ as God's great Amen. God's great truth. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ bodily from the dead is the proof that the debt of your sin is fully and completely paid for. That's keeping John intact as a person. The first chapter of Revelation is a wonderful passage, brothers and sisters. So John is on the island of Patmos in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, filled with the Spirit of God. So there you have a dual environment. He's in a wilderness. He's on an island. He's been persecuted. He's been banished to this island. He's among criminals. He's having to fight every day the battle against Satan to remain faithful to God. But he's in the Spirit and filled with hope in Christ. See, you're in a dual environment this morning as well. We're in the wilderness of this world. We have body aches. We have pains. We have broken relationships. We have difficulties. We have a little... The virus is very teeny, but it is wreaking great havoc in our lives, in our nation, in our world. But if you are filled with the Spirit of Christ today, you are looking at Jesus Christ as your hope, your sustaining strength right now. There he is in his solitude, and John heard a voice speaking behind him, like the sound of a great trumpet. Jesus Christ is speaking to John. Are you listening to Jesus Christ this morning? As I proclaim his word, as you search the scriptures, are you listening to his voice? It was the voice of a great trumpet sounding. And what did that voice of Jesus Christ, like a great royal trumpet, say? Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Look at this great passage. If you look at verses 17 through 19 of chapter 1. Fear not, I am the first and I am the last. In other words, John, I am your all-sufficiency. I am everything you need. The Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. The Omega is the last alphabet. John, I am everything you need from A to Z. I am your all-sufficiency in every condition you face, in every contingency you face, in every complex number of contingencies or conditions. I am everything you need today and tomorrow. I am the sovereign Lord who controls everything in your life. And my sovereignty is proven by not only my death for you, but my glorious resurrection from the dead. I rule and I reign over everything in your life. Today and tomorrow, John, so take heart. So when John turned around, he sees Jesus. And he sees Jesus walking among the seven golden lampstands, which symbolize the seven churches in Asia Minor. Jesus is walking. He is present among everyone in our congregation today and every single congregation faithful to Jesus Christ today. Because by his Spirit, he lives in our hearts, strengthening us. And the Spirit in your life is a proof of Christ's resurrection. The Spirit was sent when Jesus Christ was raised and exalted to heaven, so that you would have Christ in you, the hope of glory. So in his loneliness and his pressure, the Apostle John is experiencing the grace and power of Jesus Christ. He's in the presence of the resurrected and exalted Lord Jesus Christ, and his hope is centered on Jesus' unchanging personal relationship with the Apostle John. And then the Apostle John is given this glorious picture of the awesome power of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle John is not describing Christ in order to picture exactly what he looks like, but rather what Jesus is like. Follow. There are eight characteristics. I'm going to list them and go through them quickly so that you can see the power and glory of Christ at work for you today. Number one, verse 13, and in the midst of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed with a long robe, with a golden sash around his chest. In other words, what do we see there? The purity of Christ. Christ is dressed with a long robe and a golden sash like the high priest, such as Aaron had in the Old Testament. What is the point of this? It is that Jesus Christ is pure and perfect, and that he was able to be the perfect high priest, having access to God's presence because he is the eternal Son of God, and having offered his precious blood to give you eternal access to God's presence, to fellowship with God, so that your sins are forgiven through faith in Christ's blood, so that Christ is interceding for you and preparing a safe way, a secure way for you to enter into heaven when you pass from this life. Jesus Christ is your pure and perfect high priest. Second, the hairs of his head were white like wool, like snow. The eternity of Christ. Christ is your everlasting God and your Lord this morning. His hair was white like wool, like snow. In other words, Jesus Christ is from everlasting to everlasting. Brothers and sisters, take heart this morning, because Jesus Christ is eternal. That means he always lives. He always will live to lift you up, to forgive your sins, to defeat your foes. Moving on, purity, eternity. Third, his perceptivity. Notice it says his eyes were like a flame of fire. In other words, Jesus Christ sees everything hidden. He sees your heart. He knows the best about you as a follower of Christ, even when others don't. He knows the worst about you, all of it. And he loves you anyway because of your faith in his death and resurrection for you. And through his word cuts right through our hearts, revealing our attitudes and thoughts and actions, comforting us, convicting us, nourishing us in the truth of God, perceptivity. And then we move on, the severity of Christ. His feet were like burnished bronze, refined in a furnace. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ in his severity is the one who refines us in the fire. Brass is a symbol of judgment that goes through the fire. And the Lord Jesus Christ is severe with us at times. But his severity is meant to deepen our love for him and to see how absolutely we need him. This virus is to be seen as a severity of God, in that the Lord God Almighty is using it to show us that he is the Lord who judges and breaks us down to build us up in Christ, to strengthen our faith and resolve for him, to draw people to know him as Savior and Lord. Fifth, his majesty. His voice was like the roar of many waters. the majesty of Jesus Christ, like a gigantic waterfalls, like a Niagara, that makes us stop and listen to his voice. Six, in his right hand he holds the seven stars. His ministry. What does the seven stars symbolize? They symbolize the church of Jesus Christ, because the angels are over those churches. The angels are there to care for the church, and Christ is over the angels who do his bidding. Christ holds the seven stars in his hands. In other words, what a comfort to John. He's on Patmos, in a sense of prison on this island, and he's separated from his brothers and sisters in Christ, as you perhaps are separated today from those who you love, who you're not able to be in close proximity to. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ is holding all of our brothers and sisters in his hands. How affirming this must have been to John, to know that Christ holds him and all of his brothers and sisters lovingly, securely in his hands, and that God will work in every circumstance, in every situation, in order to draw us closer to himself, in order to care for us with mercy through the severity of trial. What a comfort that must have been to John. And then we read also of his weaponry. From his mouth comes a sharp two-edged sword, the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And then his beauty, his face shined like the sun in its full strength. Wow! The beauty, the glory of Jesus Christ. John could barely contain it. But brothers and sisters, everyone listening, Jesus Christ, in all of these attributes, his purity, his eternity, his perceptivity, his equipment, his weaponry, his majesty, his ministry, enters into your life in every circumstance of your life in all these multifaceted attributes in order to strengthen you, sustain you, care for you, give you courage as your resurrected Lord. Nothing can happen to you contrary to his will. And in his sovereign power, he will lift you out of this trial in his own perfect time when he has done his work fully in your life. You can trust your resurrected Lord with your whole life. There's a second great truth here, and this great truth is put your confidence in your resurrected Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. So fix your hope on your resurrected Lord. Put your confidence in him. Picture John prostrate before the living Christ, unable to do anything but fall before the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what the most important statement about John is in this passage? It's not simply what he did. It's where he did it. He bowed before Jesus Christ, before the feet of Jesus Christ, in the pressures he was under, in the solitude he was under, in the discouragements he was under. He didn't turn away from the Lord when he fell before the Lord as dead. He fell before the Lord as dead because he was overwhelmed by the holiness of Jesus in comparison with his own sinfulness. But he didn't turn away from Jesus. He turned to Jesus. The safest place to be today and tomorrow is to bow yourself before the feet of Jesus, the feet that were wounded for your sins and had nails through them. Those scars are there for all eternity in his glorified body. to show the proof of his love for you, and that he will never let you go. Are you at the feet of Jesus this morning in humble trust? The reason it's the safest place to be before the feet of Jesus in your pressures and fears is because of Christ's character. He's tender and forgiving. Jesus laid his right hand on John. Thank God for the touch of Jesus Christ this morning. Thank God that Jesus still reaches down to us when we're down, when we're drained, when we're depleted, when we're discouraged. Jesus Christ reaches down to us and puts his hand of mercy and love on us through the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember, throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, if you read Mark 2, if you read Matthew 8, if you read through Luke, you'll see that when Jesus healed the blind, the sick, the lame, and raised the dead, what did he do often? He put his hand on them. Put his hand on them to heal them. Why? To show his compassion, but most of all, to show his personal acceptance of them. How reassuring this must have been to John, the hand of Jesus was on him when he felt overwhelmed by his sin. The resurrected Christ puts his hand on you. Do you know when God gave you the gift of faith in Jesus Christ, pouring the Holy Spirit in your life to give you the gift of faith and freeing you from the condemnation of your sin and transforming your resistance to God into submission to Christ? Jesus, in mercy, put his hand on you. Jesus is filled with mercy, and he applies it personally to each one of us. And because the omnipotent risen Christ has his hand on you, nothing and no one, not Satan, not other people, not a virus, can ever snatch you from Jesus' hands this morning. Hallelujah. What a Savior. A risen, victorious Savior. I love these words of the Apostle John in verse 18. After he says, "Fear not, I am the first and the last," he says, "and the living one, I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of death and Hades." What a wonderful statement. Jesus says, look, I'm the living one. I died. The Apostle John, who wrote the Gospel, is using the same construction here as he did in John 1:14. In John 1:14, the Apostle John writes, "The Word became flesh." In this passage, John is using the same construction as John 1:14, saying, "I became dead, but behold, I am alive forevermore, and I hold the keys of death and of Hades." The resurrection of Jesus is God's great amen to the finished work of Christ on the cross. Jesus cried, "It is finished! It is finished!" That was the conqueror's cry. Then Jesus committed his spirit right before he died to Almighty God, and Jesus' soul was received into heaven by God, a proof that God accepted his death for our sin. But when Jesus was raised bodily from the dead, his soul united to his body in new resurrection life, that proved that the work of salvation was completed for all of those who trust in Jesus, and we share in the glorious new life, resurrection life in Jesus Christ. Jesus is alive this morning, brothers and sisters. I can take you to the tomb of Confucius, and his body is still there. He's an occupant in a grave. I can take you to the tomb. We could go to the tomb of Lao Tzu, the father of Taoism. And his tomb is occupied. I could take you to the tomb today of Gautama, the gentle Buddha. And his tomb is occupied. We could go today to the tomb of Lenin, of Mao, of any other person who had ever lived. They have been buried. They have died. They remain dead. But if we were to go to the tomb where Jesus Christ was placed and laid, that tomb is empty because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Oh, how encouraging and affirming this was to the fragile heart of the Apostle John. It gave him strength to be a witness for Christ and gives you strength to be a witness for Christ. Christ is alive today. Notice what he says, I have the keys. I have the keys to open the doors that will not yield to you. You have a loved one who doesn't know Jesus today. You're concerned about them with the virus. If it were to take them, where they would spend eternity. Jesus is able to open their hearts, though they be closed, because he's a living Lord. Jesus has the keys to every problem, every perplexity, every prison this morning. He has the keys that will not open to you. Christ is with us with a strength that is far greater than all of our resources put together, that exceeds all of our strength, that exceeds all of our obstacles and all of our challenges, because the resurrection power of Christ lives in you. And when you surrender to Christ, you experience that power. When you open the Word of God and absorb it, that's how the power of Christ comes to you, O believer. When you step out and share the gospel as you have opportunity, God's going to give you the power to do that. And there are a lot of people searching for answers today who don't have the hope of eternal life. Be an ambassador for Christ. Then thirdly, this morning, hope in Christ. Human beings are hope-controlled and hope-driven. The way you live now is completely controlled by what you believe about the future. Yes, we have to separate ourselves from one another. Yes, we have to remain in our homes. But you know what is a great source of unshakable triumph this morning? It is that Jesus did not remain in the tomb. He rose triumphantly from the dead for you and for me. So while you're in your home, triumph in Christ. He didn't remain in his tomb. On Easter, I often think of Johnny Erickson Tada. She was in an accident when she was 17, and ever since she's been a quadriplegic, paralyzed from the neck down. But oh, what hope she has had. What a ministry to the suffering, because she's trusted in Christ's resurrection power in her life. After the Lord drew her to faith in himself, she was at a convention in which the speaker asked everyone at the convention to kneel and seek Jesus. And everyone did but Johnny, because she was stuck in a wheelchair. And when she looked around at all the kneeling people, she started crying, not in self-pity, but in joy to see all the people there kneeling, seeking Jesus, was a picture to her of heaven. And then she wept at another thought. Let me read you her own words. Sitting there, I was reminded that in heaven I will be free to jump up, dance, kick, and run. And sometimes as guests are called to the banquet table at the wedding feast of the Lamb, the first thing I plan to do on resurrected legs is to drop on gratefully glorified knees. I will quietly kneel at the feet of Jesus. I, with shriveled, bent fingers, paralyzed muscles, twisted knees, no feeling from shoulders to my feet, will one day have a new body, energetic and clothed in righteousness. Can you imagine the hope that the resurrection of Christ gives to someone with spinal cord injuries like me? Only the gospel of Jesus Christ gives such incredible hope to live joyfully and confidently in this life. And if you believe, as the Apostle John did, and as Johnny does, that the resurrection of Christ is God's great amen over his finished work of salvation, then you can have that joyful, confident, triumphant Christ that gives you peace in any and every circumstance. And you can have the confidence that one day, when you have died, or when Jesus returns, if you're still living, you'll be caught up in a new heavens and a new earth. You receive a new body, united to a perfect soul. You'll be joined with your loved ones forever who have died believing in Jesus, never to be separated again. And that gives you the power, if you believe it, to face the worst things in this life, including this virus, with certainty and hope in Christ. Death does not have the final word. Christ's resurrection does. Is that your hope this morning? Do you love Jesus? Like John, have you bowed before Jesus and said, Lord, I confess my sin. I ask you to be the Lord of my life. I turn away from it, and I trust you as my Savior and Lord. Forgive me. Take over the throne of my life. If you will do that and pray that, you will be forgiven. Christ will come into your life, and you will have abundant resurrection life now and forever. And if you're a believer in Christ, do you know, for you, the resurrection does have a concrete face and a concrete person. Christ, your hope in life and in death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the resurrection and glorious triumph of Jesus Christ, that we serve a living Savior who rules and reigns forever and ever. God, we pray that into our lives you would breathe through the Holy Spirit new hope, new encouragement, new joy, and the assurance, Lord, that we fix our hope on you, the living Christ. We put our trust on you, the living Christ, and we have unfailing hope in you, the living Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.